Okay, so we're reading Luke chapter 4, verses 31 to 37. The power of the true prophet, or I even call it the power of the Spirit. So, could we read? Do you have the text, or I should read it for you? Oh, then he went down to Capernaum, a town in Galilee. And on the Sabbath, he taught the people. They were amazed at his teaching, because his words had authority. In the synagogue, there was a man possessed by a demon and impure spirit. He cried out at the top of his voice, "Go away! What do you want with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." "Be quiet," Jesus said sternly. "Come out of him." Then the demon threw the man down before them all and came out without injuring him. All the people were amazed and said to each other, "What words these are! With authority and power he gives orders to impure spirit, and they come out." And the news about him spread throughout the surrounding area. Wow. Lord, I pray that as I explain your word, that your power may fall and then touch us and bring us to a place of surrender. Thank you, Jesus, for being here with us this morning. We pray in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, Amen. Did you notice in the text there are two places where the people who were there were amazed? They were amazed in verse 32 because Jesus taught with authority. And then they were also amazed in verse 36 because Jesus taught with authority and power. Two places. So quickly, I want to ask these three questions to you. One, what does it mean that Jesus taught with authority? And number two, where did he get that power and authority? Where did Jesus get it? And then three, how do we get it too? You know. So number one, the first thing is, what does it mean that Jesus taught with authority and power? If you want to answer that question, you have to go back to the Bible itself, Mark chapter 1, verse 22. When you go there, you will see there is something. The Bible says the people were amazed because Jesus taught with authority, not like the teacher of the law. I want to go there at that place at the end that says Jesus did not teach like the teachers of the law. What does he mean? What do they mean when they say that Jesus taught with authority, not like? See, the teachers of the law were the experts, the Pharisees. They were the ones who knew the Old Testament. But why didn't they teach with authority? Because, see, they only repeated what previous rabbis said. They just didn't, they compiled it. Rabbi such and such and such said so, therefore this is what it means. No, totally dead. Guys, I'm not being negative. Preachers are boring. I'm telling you. Preachers are boring. I don't know what has happened to us. We're just boring. We just mumble stuff. And that's it. But the gospel is called the power of God for the salvation of people. How can it be boring? Because we tell God he has no permission to talk to us in our churches. We talk to ourselves. We repeat whatever we agree upon. We just repeat that. We don't want to hear God talk to us. Because God does talk to us. There is a problem. We shut him down. We become experts in repeating what other people have said about God, and we don't allow God to talk to us. You go to Bible studies. What do you do at the Bible study? You shut God down. Because, see, you have a Bible book. You don't allow the Bible to talk to you. You read somebody else's commentary. I have nothing against you having a Bible study material. Why can't you read the Bible yourself? Why all always you need somebody else to tell you what the Bible says. Why don't you open this Bible and read it and let God talk to you? They said in the text that Jesus taught with authority, not like the Pharisees, because the Pharisees never listened. I'm challenging you as you sit there. When is the last time you know for sure God spoke to you? Oh, Pastor Paul, be careful. We need preachers. Yes, you need us. But we don't replace God. God talks to you. You are His. You belong to Him. He doesn't need my permission as a preacher, as a doctor, to reach you. No. That's why we left the Catholic Church. You know that? God does not need my permission to talk to you. As a preacher, as a theologian, God doesn't need my permission. Jesus talked to the people, not like the Pharisees. He talked with authority. Matthew, Mark chapter 1, verse 22. But then there is another beautiful place in John chapter 7, verse 46. John 7, 46. No one has ever spoke, the text says, no one has ever spoken like this man. That's what they sent the guard to go arrest Jesus. When they got there, Jesus was teaching. The guards came there, they went, wow! And they went back to the people who sent them, they said, and then the people who sent them said, where is he? They said, no, you don't understand. We can't arrest him. Why? He speaks in a way like nobody else does. Wow. John chapter 7, 46. And then one more verse that's really interesting. Luke chapter 24, verse 32. When you look at it, it's so interesting. This is the story about after the resurrection. The two disciples from Emmaus are going somewhere, and then they meet somebody. They don't know him. And they start talking to him. And this person opens the scriptures and explains it to them. And then they realize it's Jesus. He disappears. And they say something in Luke chapter 24, 32. Didn't our heart burn within when he was explaining the gospel to us? We felt like fire. This guy has something. But we couldn't tell. Jesus preaches, teaches with authority, because when he speaks, your heart burns inside. Jesus. When Jesus touches you, your heart burns. You can't just stand there. It's like, wow. It's not like it's beautiful. No, it's just he actually touches me. Have you met him? I don't know. See, the problem with the church, Jesus is absent. We repeat stuff. We repeat stuff. We don't. Because see, if you want to be a good Christian, you don't have feelings. Ah, come on. Show me. Don't you remember, you know, man? I mean, those who are young have not been married yet, fine. But don't you remember when you were dating your wife, you know, how you had chills? After 30 years, they'll go down a little bit, but you can, you know, yeah, you know. You had chills, you know, because you love that guy. The reality is, I don't know about you. Every time I ask God to forgive my sin, and he does, I feel great. You know, all the stuff are gone. I just sit there, wow, it's just gone because he died on the cross for me. See, that Jesus is not an idea. He's real. He's God. He walks, talks. When Jesus taught, people's heart burned inside because he said to them, you know what? I know you are messed up, but I love you. I'm fixing you. Why don't you calm down? People went crazy. Because at that time, They were excluded. You do this, don't come to our church. You do that, you are not accepted. You do that, nope. And for the first time somebody comes, come to me, all of you who are messed up, I'll fix you. What? Yeah, I'll fix you. Come to me. I don't care what you do, you did. I have the solution. Just come. People were nuts. The leaders just killed him because you cannot make religion that available to people. The religion we are practicing is for exclusion. You have to qualify and come. If you don't qualify, don't come. Jesus says, you are qualified when you don't qualify. Come, just come. I will fix you. That's the gospel. That's what it is. Okay, quick, because they are telling me I have 11 minutes left. This church is tough. Oh, my. So now, how did Jesus get that power? It's very interesting. We're talking about him having authority and power. How did he get it? Oh, Pastor Paul, you know he's God. No, no. Jesus lived 33 years, but he spent the first 30 years doing nothing. Vacation, California, if you don't like California, Florida, or Hawaii. 30 years of vacation. And then he only worked 3 years. Did you notice something? What did he do during the 30 years? No miracles, no preaching, no nothing. Until Matthew chapter 3, verses 1 to 11, he goes to where? To the Jordan River to surrender to John the Baptist. Jesus received authority and power because he surrendered twice. The first time, he surrendered to a person, John the Baptist, and the second time, he surrendered to God. You have to understand something. Jesus is God himself. John the Baptist knew it because he was his cousin. The whole thing ran in the family. When Jesus goes to John in chapter Matthew 3, 1 to 11, and he comes, Jesus comes to John, says, Jesus, you are a different league. You can come to me. I can baptize you. You are God. I'm baptizing sinners. You are not one of them. You don't qualify. Go home. Jesus says, no, you don't understand. Since I came down here, I am under your authority. Baptize me. Wow. What happens when John baptizes Jesus? The heavens open. The Holy Spirit comes down, fills him up, and God gives him destiny. You are my son. In you, I am pleased with you. There is a spiritual truth to that. Eh? God will not give you power when you are a rebel against authority, human authority. Power and authority in the kingdom of God starts with surrender to authority. You kids, listen to your dad and mom. I'm against you today. You're going to listen to dad and mom. Because nowadays, kids know so much, they think we parents are pretty dumb. You know, they are convinced of it. We even don't know all the apps and stuff. Come on. Bill Gates is a father. The other one who made it is not a kid. We made all the gadgets for you. Kids, listen to the parents. Husbands and wives, listen to one another. I mean, let me tell you something. Why are we so angry? Tell me. Why don't we love authority? Why are we always rebelling? Why? I know. We have it too good. I tell you. Every American should take a vacation for a month in Africa and spend it. When you come back here, you shut down. You won't talk. Because you have it too good. You have not seen trouble. You were born, raised, you're going to die. You never saw war in your streets. You never. The church is weak because of a rebellious spirit. We rebel against everything. Now, I'm not talking down to you. No. You know what? Rebellion is my nature. I mean, I just don't obey, you know? I'm not kidding. I always find a way to get away with something. But I noticed something in my own spiritual life. Nothing works when I resist authority. Nothing. Because God told me personally, how many years ago, in 2004, that Paul, there is one Lord only, me, not you. You will obey me. You will follow what I tell you. You know, it came to me. I just realized I'm a Christian. I'm a pastor. But I follow me. I don't follow God. No. I follow my own thoughts, my own decisions. And I walk in this world with the feeling everybody's dumb. I know better. They better listen to me. That attitude makes you arrogant, and then God will never work through you. I had to surrender. You know, it was tough to surrender because the first person that God told me to surrender to is my wife. I said, no, Lord. I can take everything, but not that one. You know. He said, no. Surrender to her. Listen. And then Jesus, after he surrendered to John the Baptist, he goes to the desert and surrendered to God himself. Matthew chapter 4. We sing it. I surrender all. You know, guys, I can scream and then I can kick. What happened in the text? After Jesus surrendered, all the place broke loose because people all over the country wanted Jesus. There is evangelism. There is outreach. There is power. The moment that we surrender to him. That's the verse down there. The news spread all over the country because Jesus surrendered to God. And I see us here. Everything nowadays is political. Everything is... No, guys, I'm sorry. America will not be fixed through politics. I guarantee you. It will not happen. The only thing that will happen is when we Christians stand up, transformed by Christ, and speak. This gospel, you see, didn't happen because Rome was powerful. No, the world changed because they took the power of the cross and went all over the place and changed history. I have no concern. You can go home, feel sorry about America. It's your problem. I don't feel sorry about this country. Nope. Because there is hope. That hope is not in Washington. That hope is in Jesus Christ, the Son of God. I have to let myself be touched and humbled so that I may carry that power. Everyone who sees me and you, and says, he has something that I don't have. What is it? It's called the power of the cross. No, okay. I think I don't want to overdo it. You know. Do you want it?
Do you want the power? Do you want the authority? It's available. Just make yourself a little bit small and let God start using you, you know. It's beautiful, you know. You have to see it. Tomorrow when you come, we're going to have videos and PowerPoints so you can see the result of the power of God. I don't know why it happens mostly in Africa. When we go there, maybe because people are open, I don't know. I see it all over the place when we go there. You know? We'll show some tomorrow so you can see the power, how it works, how lives are changed. Who wants the power and authority today? Lord Jesus, I pray for myself and my brothers and sisters. It's beautiful when you speak and things are changed into the likeness of Christ. I pray for our church here, Father. This church is going nowhere. It has to be here at this corner. Father, I pray that you may just burn the hearts of the people here so that they can stand and witness. This church is yours. I pray for it. May your power burn in our hearts and change this city and this country. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said, Amen.